Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Center Friends on this cool first Sunday in February. Can we all start our worship service this morning by standing and singing hymn number 330? It is good to sing thy praises. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful February morning. Lord, thank you for bringing us all here again to worship you. Lord, please open our hearts and minds to receive the word today that we may take it out and share it with the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Groundhog Day. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Groundhog Day.
Good morning.
I saw somewhere they said there'll be infinite instant replays this afternoon during the Super Bowl since it's Groundhog Day, kind of like the movie. Beautiful day to be here, and I think it's going to be even prettier tomorrow. I think it's 70 degrees on February the 3rd. I'm okay with that. So I hope everybody had a great week. Welcome to Center Friends. We're glad you're here this morning. It's a great day to be in God's house, to listen to what the Spirit is leading us to do in our world, in our local communities, and in our church. It is so great to have, where's she at? She's hiding back there. Ginger back. She's took a little hiatus to get 100%, and now she's full speed ahead. And we're so glad that she's back with us this morning. Are there any announcements we need to make? I'll have a couple at the end, but are there any anyone wants to make? All right. Well, the one I have is for Kay. Kay's battling some stuff, so she asked me if I'd make an announcement for her because I'm a little bit louder. The Valentine's Supper is February the 15th. It's in your bulletin. She will be in the back there at the library, the old library, selling tickets and also taking volunteer signups. So if you have questions about it or if you want to help, again, this is not a one-class effort, a one-person effort. This is a church effort. And the part of the proceeds will go to benefit Church Under the Bridge and other things in our meeting. So I encourage you to buy a ticket to eat and stay and help. We'd love for you to do that. So if you would see Kay at the end of worship, or if you know somebody who is interested, by all means, have them call her or call the church. I can check the voicemail every so often, but I'm going to put it on the sign to call Kay to make those reservations this afternoon. Any other announcements? If not, will our ushers come forward, please? Let's make our offering to the Lord. Father God, we thank you so much that you can give us the beautiful sunshine today, that you can give us the joy and laughter and smiles as we come together and we worship you. We lay all things at your feet. We place all needs in your hands, Lord, and we ask that you take our offering and you multiply it to your will. You multiply it and you give us the direction and the guidance that you see us doing in our community, that it is not about us, that it is about the least of these that can come to you. Again, we thank you and for all the blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
What are some ways that you can help others?
Give them some food.
Yeah.
Give them food.
What do you think you know anyways?
Mommy told me she gave some people that didn't have enough money to get on the bus, and she gave them all the money. Mm-hmm.
Can you help by giving things that you don't need anymore? Like toys you don't play with or clothes you don't wear anymore? Church under the bridge, we helped by donating rent, clothes, and helping feed the
homeless. We got this verse from 1 John 3:16 through 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ did lay down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth.
So that can mean that instead of just telling someone something, you can help them by giving them something, or showing them with your actions instead of.
Sharon just said, that is quite the group. I will agree. What a blessing it is to see our young people taking an involvement in even our younger people, our little friends. And we definitely have a good group of older youth that see the need in not just their schools or their communities, but also in their church. And that they, Natalie and Elizabeth, were so willing to sign up for Children's Moments and be able to explain that they had experiences at church under the bridge. And so I would have not done that as a kid. I was terrified to be in front of crowds. But for Landon to pray in front of this crowd is a miracle there. It's God working. So I think we could all definitely say we saw God today. With that being said, who saw God this past week? Ooh, nice. Would anyone like to share their God moment or their praise?
Last few weeks, a friend of mine has been out there and he's been punching out crosses. I've been passing them out, you know, to people. Well, at this store I go to every morning, I pass out to everybody that was there. And this one guy, he comes by every morning, he showed me he got it. Well, this morning, he pulled it out of his pocket and he said, "This is the best gift he ever gave me." So, yes, that was great.
And last week I talked about, when Dad was out, I talked about him passing out those metal crosses that are punched out of church under the bridge. And that's a continuation of that phrase there. That's something small can mean the largest thing to somebody. Any other praises?
Keith and I had a new grandbaby born yesterday, a little boy, Ellis Josiah.
Any others?
I have to share. On the prayer list is the Matthews family. That's the co-worker is the mother of the newborn that we had mentioned and prayed for when she was born November 30th. There was difficulty in the delivery, and she was born without oxygen. Her parents were basically told that she would not survive and that it would just be a matter of days. I saw her on Friday. She is 2 months old. She is beautiful still, just as she was. She is learning to do things with the help of several therapists who come into the home. The parents are doing a marvelous job loving on her and teaching her things. She has a very important scan coming up February 21st, which will show if there is what the status of the brain bleed is or was, we're hoping was, that it's not still there. But when I touched her, I just said, you know what, you're just a miracle, and my church has been praying for you, and we're going to keep praying for you. And if I've ever seen a miracle, it was when I saw her on Friday and was able to look at her and watch her make little faces. She's just learned to do so many things that her parents were told that she would never, basically she would never survive past taking her home. So thank you for your prayers, and please keep them up.
And that's Hazel Matthews.
Yes, baby Hazel.
So, doctors can tell us all they want to. And they know about as much science as their brains can hold. But as I've said before, science only goes so far, and God controls it all. So that is definitely a miracle. And Whitney's in the nursery, but that child has been through so much. It was essentially would not have any function, would not open her eyes, would not take a pacifier, would not do anything. It would be a matter of days, maybe a couple weeks, and there was no brain function really at all. And so I'd say that she showed them. So God's working. Any others?
Roger on the list for tomorrow. Having surgery tomorrow.
Finally having a shoulder surgery.
Yeah, doing the shoulder.
I'll tell you that Mary Ruth Cox had a procedure done this past week and came through like a champ. She's doing well at home, so she's with Grace now, but she's doing well. So just keep her in your thoughts and prayers, and also Lloyd, as he has to deal with her being out of the house. So any others? Any prayer requests?
I have a prayer request, and that is that my daughter-in-law, Heather, Daniel's wife, has to have some surgery on her throat tomorrow. And it's at 7:30 in the morning at Wake Forest, so just need to pray that that all goes well and there's no complications or anything from that.
So that's Heather Doss, Danny Clark. Also, we need to remember the family of Barry Morrison. He lost a cousin in the last week or so, and two of his aunts that are suffering from injuries from the so he is, as he told me, when it rains, it pours. So just remember Mary's family as they heal through both the emotional process and the physical process of those injuries. Any others? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, again, we come to you with so much praise and thanksgiving. We lift our song to you. We lift our words to you. We lift our spirit to you. As we gather together and we celebrate your presence in our life. And we thank you for that. We ask that you continue to reveal yourself to us. You give us those real-time revelations that we can come back and share with others. That we can say, I saw God today. Lord, and you've done that this week. The many hands that went up, you know the God moments. You know the wonderful things people have experienced, from simple little crosses to the miracle of a baby opening her eyes and making faces that was told would not do that. God, we just bow to you and your power. We know where science stops, that you have complete control. Lord, it's my prayer that those experiencing those medical needs that may doubt you in the presence of those, that through your miracles, through your presence, through your grace, that their eyes are open to you, that they see that it's not luck and it's not coincidence. It's you. It's you in all things. It's you, and as we, you with us as we heal from grieving, the loss of family, loss of friends. It's you as we heal physically and our bodies are broken through injuries and sickness. It's you who is always there that we lean on. We submit ourselves to you, Lord, and ask that you lead us and guide us. Tell us what you want us to do. Heal us so that we can do it. And open our hearts to the needs of those around us. But most of all, we're here to praise you. We're here to love you. We're here to embrace that relationship with you. Lord, as far as our voice travels, it is our prayer that those who hear us, those who see us live out our Christian faith, will be brought closer to you. Use us as your vessel. Use us as your mission to go out and spread your message of love and hope for an eternal glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So this sermon this morning was actually supposed to be last week, and if you were here last week, we had church last week. We had testimonies and witnessing of how God was moving in people's lives and what they experienced through Church Under the Bridge, and you heard those who were personally touched in a special way for their service at Church Under the Bridge, and not just the simple fact they went out and did something, but what they saw and the blessing they received from the people that they encountered. And so this morning, we're going to look at the same scripture that I had kind of originally planned to talk about last week, but of course, things change. And so I had this sermon written out for last week, and then I got to reading it again and got in my quiet space and realized that wasn't the sermon that needed to be this week. And so it's the same scripture, and it really does apply. And I struggle with this week because I have it up here, and I have it here, but I couldn't put it here. And it was really hard, and I've had those moments a time or two, and I've not quite got comfortable enough just to preach without any notes. I'm not that brave yet, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I may stick to my notes, and then again, we'll let the Lord lead it, and we'll roll with it. But this morning, we're going to be in the book of Acts. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 11. And we're going to look at Peter's encounter with Cornelius, the centurion. Acts chapter 11, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 18. And it is written, "The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, 'You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them?' Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. 'I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." I replied, "Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." The voice spoke from heaven a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house, that being Cornelius. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, and as he had come on us at the beginning. And then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." So my illustration, when you go through a class called homiletics, it teaches you how to preach. It teaches you the structure. There's actually a format to writing a sermon, and it involves bringing in real-life illustrations to get kind of hook your audience, and then you bring in the word, and then you bring in kind of an application, and then you close it out. Kind of like storytelling in a way, but you got to get your audience captivated, and I didn't have an illustration for this message except what we did last Saturday. And so I look at this, and I thought, okay, I'm here at the scripture. This is really speaking to me. What's my hook here? Because what I see in this message, it leads me to a couple of misconceptions that we're going to cover in our real life application here in church, and in our everyday life. And as I looked at Church Under the Bridge, it didn't look like anything that I'd ever seen before. A group of people, probably didn't know each other, came together and they ate and they worshiped and they fellowshiped. Kind of like a church that we would think of today. A church in a building with a steeple or not, with a bell or not, with an altar or not. And I got to really looking at this. And so this part of Acts talks about the expansion of Christ's church. This is post-resurrection. This is after Jesus had risen up to heaven. And this is him commissioning his disciples to go out and make the church. Go out and be the church. They had no blueprint. They had no real idea of what it looked like. It wasn't an idea of, let's put four walls up and a bunch of rows of seats. It was go and make disciples. And that would be the church. So earlier in chapter 10, and if you want to read chapter 10 after you get home today, I encourage you to do so. It's a more detailed account of Peter's interaction with Cornelius. Cornelius was a centurion. He was a Roman soldier. I think they liked him to a captain of a group of 100 soldiers. So he was pretty well off. He was pretty well respected. He was a godly man, but he was not Jewish. Strike one. He wasn't a Jew. He was a soldier in Caesar's army. Strike two. Nobody likes the Roman guard because they enforce the laws. And strike three, he didn't know Jesus Christ. So, he was kind of an outcast. And so as Peter got called to Cornelius' house, Cornelius got called to Peter. Amazing how God works, that each are called to each other and we're brought together by the Spirit. And so when Peter arrived at Cornelius' house, he engaged with conversation, he engaged with a meal, and he engaged the gospel with people that were not like him. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles. If you were not a Jew, you were a Gentile. He talked with people. He ate with people who were uncircumcised. What? That's crazy. That's where it brings us to chapter 11, when we're talking about, this is the leaders that come to Peter and they say, have you lost your mind? You're eating with people who are unclean. You're eating things that are unclean. What? Are you crazy? And so I got to really get into the scripture and look at this. And I came up with these misconceptions that have applied to this church, to the Jews in Peter's time, to the Christians in Peter's time, to the Gentiles, and also to us. So it's not a separate, it's not your typical illustration scripture, what it meant then and what it means now. Because what it means then is exactly what it means now. There's a parallel. And so I've got three misconceptions that we can pull from this scripture that apply to us today. And I cannot help but think about Church Under the Bridge when I do this. So if you went to Church Under the Bridge, think about the misconceptions and think about how that works with our experiences that we had a couple weeks ago. The first one is human traditions are more important than salvation. A misconception. Human traditions are more important than salvation. Wrong. Peter had a vision while in prayer from God of a large sheet. Now this is a crazy vision. A large sheet dropping out of heaven, and on it were pictures of animals, birds, reptiles. And then he hears God's voice that says, go ahead and kill and eat. Now from Exodus, we know that, in Leviticus, we know that you can't eat certain animals in the Jewish faith. But Peter was told by God, hello, it's in red in my Bible, so it means the real deal. Go and eat. And Peter quickly said, whoa, hold on, I can't do that. But God clarified it and said, whatever I've made clean, you do not call unclean. Whatever I've made clean, you do not make or call unclean. And again, he'd been criticized by those leaders for associating with people who were less than them. They were not like them. The vision that Peter had referenced Old Testament Jewish law. But what's the problem with that? It was Mosaic law that had been passed down. But things changed. This was the new church. This was the New Testament. This was the new experience. Christ had been placed on this earth as God in the flesh to give us the new law, the new rules of engagement, if you will. It didn't matter that we had to sacrifice an animal. That was not needed anymore because the world sacrificed the one and true ultimate gift. That was for us. Now, I'm all about some laws, as most of you know, and a few years ago, even probably today, some of you may still describe me as mostly black and white in viewing situations. I was even more so back a few years ago, but I would focus on the clear line in the sand, holding everyone that I came in contact with to that line. There was no stepping over the line, there was no taking your hand and blurring the line a little bit. And one of the first things I did as I came here to Center as a visitor and sat up in that balcony, first thing I did was I read the Faith and Practice from cover to cover. Now that says a lot about my personality because to me that was Faith and Practice. That was the guidebook. That was the manual. That was the how to be a Quaker. So I wanted to read it. And it doesn't surprise many of you here that I would read the rule book, for a lack of a better term, but as I've grown as a Christian, as a friend, as a minister, there's a need for a bend, a smudge, or a gray area. I'm sure if you ask some people in my family, they may still tell you I'm pretty black and white, but I'd like to think that I've grown a little bit. But when I think about our human traditions, Peter challenged the traditions of the Jewish faith. He went into the house of the Gentile. He did something that he shouldn't have done according to man's law. But God led them together. Human traditions compared to salvation, there is no comparison. Peter encountered the same comparison with Cornelius as we do. He received the vision of eating unclean animals and the voice of God telling him to go ahead. And then he socialized with those that weren't Jewish. But at that moment, Cornelius' salvation and those in his household was the most important thing at the time. That was the most important thing at the time. The Mosaic law didn't matter. The rules of the Jewish priest didn't matter. It was saving Cornelius. It was spreading the message to him who they had been called to visit. So let me ask you, when it comes to church, and I don't mean churches in the building, I mean churches in the general broad sense of the body of Christ. Are we so structured in our thinking? Are we so structured in our rules? Do we hold to the line so much that we're willing to sacrifice a stranger's salvation for tradition? Are we willing to sacrifice a stranger's salvation for a tradition? My prayer is the answer is no. That the power of the Spirit will prevail over the power of man. As Christians, we've got to be able to think outside of our normal course of business for the salvation of our friends, both known and unknown. Peter took a major leap outside the tradition of the Jewish faith, and he touched the first Christian that was a Gentile. Cornelius was the first Gentile Christian of Christ's church. Jesus pushed past the limits of tradition when he gave the two greatest commandments, love God and love your neighbor. He took the place of tradition. He took the place of procedure. He took the place of ceremonies when he put himself in the pits of death and victoriously claimed his right to sit next to the Father? Are we willing to sacrifice salvation for procedure and tradition? The second misconception. Our church should be filled with our kind of people. And our kind of people is in quotations. Our church should be filled with our kind of people. Wrong. Peter's naysayers were so concerned that he'd been eating with people who weren't like them. Someone who wasn't a Jew. Not an acceptable character. We don't associate with those people. Peter went with three strangers who he did not know. He had no clue who these three men were that came from Cornelius' house. And he went with them blindly because the Lord said it was okay. He had faith. When those that heard the message from Peter received the Holy Spirit, they became part of the church. And they weren't even Jewish. Now, there was a sect of Jews, a section part of the Jewish faith, that believed that Gentiles could become the chosen people. But they had to become Jewish first. There was a sect that actually believed, oh yeah, they can be like, we can hang out with them, but they got to be Jewish first. They got to convert to Judaism. So let me ask you, what should the church look like today? If we were honest with ourselves, all of us at some point have had some prejudicial notion of what the church should look like. If you really, really looked at yourself in the mirror, we've all had this idea. If you've been going to church for any length of time, it's a prejudicial notion, prejudicial idea of what we should be looking like sitting in this place today. Maybe we should all be white. Maybe we should all be black. Maybe we should all be middle to upper class. Maybe we should all have the same lifestyles. Maybe we all need to be normal. If I asked every single person individually what normal was, some would probably giggle. Because who knows what normal is? Who cares? At what point can we realize that we are completely different than the person sitting next to us and it does not matter? I asked the folks at Church Under the Bridge, I said, tell me how many people here have an exact twin that is just like them. There is absolutely no physical, emotional, psychological, genetic difference. Nobody could raise their hand. Who would want a second person like ourselves? I don't want everybody. I don't want y'all to be like me. Be a whole lot more tickets written, but it, you know. But I mean, think about it. Those who went Saturday, no one looked alike. No one acted alike. No one smelled alike. Who cares? Because we were in God's church. Who cares? So what do we want church to look like? What do we want church to look like? We are all separated in our world, and I told them this last Saturday, we are separated into everything. We are separated by race. We are separated by communities. We are separated by zip codes. We are separated by street names. We're separated by gender. We're separated by test scores. We're separated by financial status. We're separated by reading levels. We're separated by political groups. We're separated by athletic abilities. We're even separated by denominations in the church that started right there. In Peter's day, a class system existed with the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the merchants, the lower class, and then the lepers. Everybody was separated into groups. But the one thing they all shared is that they could receive the salvation of Christ, and it did not matter what they look like. And Peter realized that with Cornelius. Church doesn't have a certain look. We held it under a bridge with a dirt floor, folding chairs that were not in a straight line, but the same Holy Spirit was there. The people there were black, white, Hispanic, clean, dirty, old, young, and really young. I'm sure there were Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Quakers, Jews, Gentiles, you name it. Non-denominationals, atheists, agnostics, you name it. If you really hit the heart of everybody, you probably could find every denomination or no denomination at all. What should our church look like? How about one full of believers? How about one full of believers? The important realization is that we all have the access to the same God and receive the same salvation. What else should matter? Peter realized that salvation could come to those regardless of who they were. They called on the Lord. In chapter 10, verse 34, Peter even said, God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. The bottom line is this. Salvation is for everyone who accepts Christ, not just the ones who show up on Sunday morning. Salvation is for every person who accepts the gospel of Jesus Christ. The third misconception. God has to do things my way. That's a hard one. Because I've felt like that sometimes. God has to do things my way. Wrong. Look at verse 17. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in Lord Jesus Christ, here's the important question. Who was I to stand in God's way? That's a powerful revelation for Peter right there. That's a turning point in his thinking. He realized that he became the vessel by which God called to reach Cornelius, a non-Jew. They were the vehicle, the messenger, the mail carrier, the Amazon truck, whatever you want to call it. They were commissioned by God to deliver the package. For us, we think that God should fit into our world the most convenient way possible, not us into his world. We're in a world of instant gratification. We want what we want yesterday, and we don't want to wait for it or work for it. We've become a world that's learned to be so independent that we forget that to be successful, in God's eyes, we've got to submit to God's will. It's not our way, it's God's way. Our broken world, if we allow it, helps create more self-righteous people, and that is a dangerous line to be at. Because righteousness comes from the Father, not from ourselves. The more we become self-righteous, the less we see the need for the cross. The less we see the need for God, because he's just an object in our life. It's my world, my way. Our righteousness comes from our faith in the risen Christ, not ourselves. Peter asked that question, who are we to stand in God's way, thinking that I could do more than God could? Who are we to tell God what his will is going to be? We got to be careful as a church, as the body of Christ, as the ones who've come together to reach the Corneliuses of the world, that we are not setting ourselves up to push God away. If God is moving us in one direction, let's roll with it. God was working in the life of Cornelius. God was leading him to the message of the cross through Peter. Who was Peter to stop it? What authority did the Jewish leaders that came back and criticized Peter? What authority did they have to criticize him about it? None. God is working in our lives. Don't get in his way. Sometimes we've got to check ourselves to make sure we are being submissive. That's a hard thing for humans to do, is to bow before something that they can't see and touch and hold and spend. That's a hard thing. As the modern church, as Christ's church in 2020, let's not forget to teach our children to follow God. Let's not forget to teach our children to be humble in the gifts they have received, that they are not expectations, but they are blessings. We have a hope of an eternity where no tear will fall and no pain will be felt and no need will be failed to be met. But that is only through the faith. It's not our way. It's God's way. Those who were scolding Peter for going to Cornelius' house finally realized they were no more superior than the next person. And in verse 18, you can see their conversion. And they say, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then even Gentiles can get salvation. Well, ain't that something? Even the Gentiles can get it. You don't have to be Jew. You can be a Gentile and get it. God brought Peter and Cornelius together in one of the most powerful moments in the creation of the Christian church. This was the start of the acceptance of everyone who believes in the Lord into Christ's church. This one moment right here. The non-Jew, the Gentile, the Roman soldier, that guy over there was able to receive the same salvation that if you've believed in Jesus Christ, you have that salvation. This conversion started a world-changing transformation that lasted over 2,000 years, and it continues to last. Our traditions will not get us any closer to God. Our church is anywhere we are, at any time and place we may find ourselves, that we are sharing the love of Christ. We are loving our neighbor. We are loving God. We are talking about His work in our life. And we are leading others to the cross. That is where church is. We don't need a steeple, a pew, an altar, or even a building. We had a dirt floor and a bridge. And a whole bunch of people that didn't look like each other. The people of God's church can be as diverse as one can imagine. Three misconceptions. Human traditions are not as important as salvation. Our church should be filled with believers, regardless of what they look like, sound like, smell like. And God does things His way. We are to follow. So let me leave you with this closing question that I want you to ponder over the week. Our misconceptions, much like those who were criticizing Peter, create and continue and encourage separation in our society. They continue separation in our workplaces. They continue separation in our governments, in our homes, in our schools, and in our churches. But let me ask you this, Jew or Gentile, does it really matter?
Thank you, Tommy. Definitely gives us some food for thought. Let us close our worship service today by standing and singing hymn number 459, All for Jesus, verses 1 and 4.
That you can bless us each and every day. Lord, challenge us to see that all the things do not matter as long as we come to you. Lord, help us do your will. Let us be your vessel, your vehicle. Guide us and direct us to reach the lost and the broken, Lord. We thank you. Protect us and guide us so that we can continue to worship you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Have a great week.